Okay, good morning, everybody. Today's daf is Sanhedrin daf Yud Tes. We are holding on daf Yud Ches Amud Beis. We are all the way at the end of the page, three lines from the bottom of the page. Choletz v'choltzin at the two dots. Today's share is sponsored by Dr. David Lander, in honor of his wife and children, and leading Nishmas' mother, Golda Basimcha, Shalom, as well as by Daniel Sadian for the success of Klal Yisrael in these times, and Hatzlacha for our soldiers and our captives. They should all return home safely, as well as by Esti and Avi Goldstein, Li'ilui Nishmas, their beloved son, my Talmud, Zachary Goldstein, Chaim Tzvi Ben Avram, on his sixth yard site, which was yesterday, the Neshama Shev and Aliyah. We thank all of the sponsors very, very much for the sponsorship. What we are discussing today is the following. First, we're going to talk about why a Kohen Gadol cannot do Yibum on his brother's Arusa, meaning I would imagine that we would say, Asei Docha Losasei, as a mitzvah of Yibum, let it be Docha, the Losasei of him marrying an Almana. She's not violating the Asei of Besula, because she's an Arusa, she is a Besula. So the Gemara is going to discuss that. Then the Gemara is going to discuss a Kohen Gadol attending a funeral and being Menachim others and being Misnachim from others. That's going to lead into a discussion of the practices of a Shura by a funeral, where they're Menachim by standing in a row. Who stands? Who moves in terms of the Shura by a funeral? The Gemara is going to discuss why it is that Malchei Yisrael, at least, cannot be judged or judge others. And it's going to distinguish between Malchei Beis David versus Malchei Yisrael, but we're going to discuss why it is that there's such a din by Malchei Yisrael, what that din was based on, and that's going to lead the Gemara into a discussion of the marriages of Michal. Well, no, what leads the Gemara into a discussion of the marriages of Michal and Merav to David is the line in the Mishnah where we said that you're not allowed to marry an almana of a melech, and the Gemara is going to discuss. But what about the fact? The Mishnah already discussed. What about the fact that it seems that David married Shaul's almanos? So the Gemara is going to say, no, not Shaul's almanos, Shaul's daughters, Michal and Merav. So we're going to have a lot about the marriages of David to Michal and to Merav. And the Gemara is then going to discuss how we know that when you raise a child, it's as if that is your own child. And there are other things you could also do to make it as if it's your own child. If you teach a child Torah, if you support a child, you cause him to survive something. Then the Gemara is going to get back into the discussion of Michal and Merav and David by discussing one critical person in that story, Palti ben Laish. And we're going to talk about the extraordinary willpower of Palti ben Laish. So let's begin. Again, we're at two dots, three lines from the end of the page, on daf Yud Chesed Beis. So Choleitz v'Choltzin. So we said that a Kohen Gadol could be Choleitz, his brother's wife, could do Chalitza on his brother's wife, and if he dies, his brother could do Chalitza on his wife. However, he cannot be Miyabeim Eishes Achiv if his brother dies without any children, because he's not allowed to marry an Almana. So Kapasik V'Tani, the Tan in the Mishnah just says that he's not allowed to be Miyabeim, sounds like Loshna Mina Irisim Loshna Mina Nisuin, that it's irrelevant whether the brother had Erisin or the brother had Nisuin with her. Bishlam and Nisuin, I understand very well that if the brother already had Nisuin with her and then the brother dies, the Kohen Gadol cannot do Yibum because Havi Asei Vilos Asei. Marrying this woman would be a violation of both a mitzvah Sasei and a Los Asei. The Pasuk says, Vuhu Isha Bivsuleha Yikach, that he's only allowed to marry a Besula, that's the Asei, if he were to go and marry her. And it's also Los Asei, because the Pasuk says, Almana Ugru of a chalala zona es ele lo yikach, that he's not allowed to marry an almana, so it would be a violation of both. So I understand. Ve'ein asei docha lo sasei vasei. His mitzvah sasei of yibum is not going to be docha both the lo sasei of not marrying an almana and the asei of yes marrying a besula. So even though we learn asei is docha lo sasei, but the rule is asei is not docha lo sasei vasei, because we assume that the aseis cancel each other out, and then you're still left with the lo sasei. So he's not able to marry. Or shouldn't, so I understand very well that he's not able to marry her. Tosa Rush raises the question that l'chora, that should only be true by an asei and a los asei that's shava b'kol. But if it's not shava b'kol, then even then an asei should even be docha los asei ve'asei. That's a sugya meseches nazir dafnun ches, that the asei shal mitzora is docha the asei and los asei of kohanim, because the los asei ve'asei of kohanim is not shava b'kol, and therefore the asei of mitzora is going to be docha the los asei asay and asay of Kohanim. So the Tosa Rush suggests that the Yisrael Manul Kohen Gadol and when it comes to the Yisrael Manul Kohen Gadol, the Isha is also doing an Aveira. It's not only the Kohen that's doing the Aveira. And that's not Nidcha from the Asay of Yibum, even though it's not Shavu B'Kol, even though Dafka only relates to Kohanim. Only an Asay and a Los Asay that is knowing by men alone and not by women is considered to be a true Eino Shavu B'Kol. But anyway, back in the Gemara is asking, I understand very well that the Kohen Gadol cannot do Yibum on his brother's Almana Min Hanisuin, because that's an Asay and a Los Asay. Elamina Erisin, but his brother's Almana Min Erisin, where she's still a Basula, so it's not a violation of a Hu Isha B'Basula Yikach. Am I? Why can't he do Yibum on her? Yavo Asay B'Yidcha Los Asay. Let the Mitzvah Sasei of Yibum be Docha, the Los Asay of Almana the Kohen Gadol. So answers the Gemara, the fact that he cannot be Miyabim, his brother's wife, even when it's only Mina Erisin, is not because of an Isra Daraisa. Enochinami, the Asay would be Docha, the Asay of Yibum would be Docha, the Los Asay of Almana. However, that would only be true on the very first Bia. When it comes to the second Bia, then there's no Mitzvah of Yibum anymore. Then she would be Asura to him, because there's nothing being Docha the Isra anymore. Gzeira Bia Rishona, Atu Bia Shnia. So they made a Gzeira that he cannot even do the first Bia, because we're Choshesh that by doing that, he's going to come to do the second Bia as well. So it's a Gzeira Bia Rishona, Atu Bia Shnia. The Rishonim raised the question that, wait a second, what do you even need Bia Rishona, Atu Bia Shnia? The Mitzvah Sasei of Yibum, you're already Mekayim with the Tchilas Bia, the Gemara in Yavama says in Daf Nun Gimel. And he's ready Mekayim with the Tchilas Bia. So the Kohen Gadol can't even be Gomer the Bia with the Almana. They should have been, because by then he's not doing a mitzvah anymore. It's just Stam and Aveira. So the Chacham shouldn't have been Gozer Bia Rishona Atu Bia Shnia. They should have been Gozer Tchilas Bia Atu Sof Bia. You don't even need to get to the second Bia. Even by the end of the first Bia, you already don't have Asay Docha Los Asay. That should have been the Gemara's answer. So Tosa Rush says, yeah, that could have worked also. Meaning the point is that Gzeira, the next step, Atu the next step. So it's easier to say Bia Rishona Atu Bia Shnia, but really it just means Gzeira on the first step, Atu the next step. The Ran, however, writes, and other Rishonim also say, that even though Tchilas Bia is Kona her as an Isha, the Sof Bia also is part of the mitzvah. That it doesn't say Gzeira Ha'ara Atu Sof Bia, because the Sof Bia still is the mitzvah. We would still say Asay Dochalos Asay. So even though the Yivama is Niknes with Tchilas Bia, but it's considered one act, and the end of the Bia is still considered part of the mitzvah. Now, the Mi'iri points out, wait a second, a Basula, we assume, cannot become pregnant from Bia Rishona. That was the assumption that Chazal had. The mitzvah of Yibum is not just to have Bia with her, but it's to be Mekayim Shem La'achiv. So L'chora, Bia Shnia should have been Mutter also, because if Bia Rishona, she can't become pregnant, the only way to be Mekayim Shem La'achiv is through Bia Shnia. So we should have said it's a Gzeira Bia Shnia, Bia Shlishis, Bia Shnia Atu Bia Shlishis. That it's the third Bia that would have been Asir. So that's what the Mi'iri says. Yeah, that's what it means. Bia Rishona Atu Bia Shnia means the first Bia that could impregnate her Atu the second Bia that could possibly impregnate her. So that's what it means anyway. Tanya Namihachi, we have a Brisa that says just like this. Imkadmu Uvalu, if those Yivamim that are not allowed to do Yibum with their Yivamos violate this Isser and they have Bia with their Yivamos, Bia Rishona Kanu, their Kona, meaning that it works as Yibum, and therefore if they're going to need a get. Va'asr the Kaiman, but they're not allowed to stay married, B'Bia Shnia, by then having a Bia Shnia, because the Bia Shnia, there is no mitzvah being Docha, the Bia Shnia. So you see that Yibum is only, the Yibum is only Asr Midrabanan, and that's why B'Dievet it's going to work, because the whole Isser is only Midrabanan. Good, so mace lo mace. We then said that if the Kohen Gadol has a relative that dies, so according to Rabbi Meir, he cannot go to the funeral at all. It's, I shouldn't say, he can go to the funeral. Meir says he can go to the funeral, but hey nichsin v'hu nigla, hey nigla v'hu nichsa, right? That he cannot be within eyesight of the coffin at any time. So the Gemara says, Tan Rabban, we have a brisa, that it says by the Kohen Gadol, that umina mikdash lo yetze, that he's not not allowed to leave the Beis HaMikdash when he's a Kohen Gadol that's in Onen. So we learn lo yetzei imayin av liyotzei achareyan, that he can't go mamish together with the people that are malav of the mace, but he could follow behind them. Ketzad, how do you follow behind them without going with them? Hey nixin v'hu nigla, hey nigla v'hu nixa. Exactly what we describe, what a mayor described in the Mishnah, that he never is within eyesight of the coffin. V'yotzei, then we said the Kohen Gadol can go to be malavah the mita ad Pesach Shari'ir, according to Rameir. He can go up until the Pesach Shari'ir. But Rabbi Yehuda says, no, he's not allowed to leave the Beis HaMikdash at all. He does not go to the funeral at all. Min HaMikdash lo yetzei, the Pasuk says, and that is to be taken literally. So ask the Gemara, Shapik, from Rabbi Yehuda. Rabbi Yehuda's a good point. It actually does say in the Pasuk, Min HaMikdash lo yetzei. So why does Rameir think he's allowed to leave the Beis HaMikdash, and as long as he doesn't see, and then go all the way to the Shari'ir? So Amalach Rameir is going to say, Rameir would respond to Rabbi Yehuda, Ihachi, if that were true, what Rabbi Yehuda was saying were true, that the pasuk is to be taken kipshuto, that he's not allowed to leave the mikdash lebesonamilo, then he shouldn't be able to go to his house either. And we know that that's not true. He is allowed to go to his house, right? How do I know that he's allowed to go to his house? So it's from the first Mishnah Maseches Yoma that we're mafresh him for 7 days from his house, from Beso, in advance of Yom HaKippurim. The implication is, and the rest of the time, he's allowed to go to his house. That there is no other time that he's not allowed to be in his house. But with the Mikdash Leyetze implies he's not allowed to go to his house at all. Ela Hachikamer, but that can't be what it means. So what it must mean is, Min HaMikdash Leyetze, Mikdushaso Leyetze, that he has to make sure that he's not, that he doesn't cause himself any tumma, that he doesn't sacrifice his Kedusha in any way. Well, once he's going to be malav of the mita in such an unusual way where he's never going to be able to see the coffin, and so then lo asi the minga, he's not going to come to sacrifice his kedusha. He's not going to come to cause himself any tumah. Rabbi Yehuda, what's Rabbi Yehuda going to answer back to the taina of Rabbi Meir? That Rabbi Meir's taina is you cannot possibly explain this pasuk kipshuto. So Gemara says Rabbi Yehuda, the sheet of Rabbi Yehuda is that even when he's yotze achar mita in such a way, I'm still concerned. That meaning you're right. It doesn't mean he literally is not allowed to leave the Beis HaMikdash. It means he's not allowed to do things that will sacrifice his Kedusha. The only thing is, you, Reb Meir, think that as long as he doesn't get within eyesight of the coffin, he's not sacrificing his Kedusha. I think he is, because Agav Rari Dilma Mikri Vasi Vinaga, because he's going to be so bitter and so tzibrachin at the Levaya that he might run ahead and he might come and touch the coffin, and he's going to be metame himself. So therefore, we have to be extra machmir in him that he should not attend the funeral at all. So what appears from this Gemara is that even Rabbi Yehuda doesn't really learn his din from the pasuk of Min HaMikdash Lo Yetzei. Right? Rabbi Yehuda also understands Min HaMikdash Lo Yetzei is just mikdushaso. It just means that he shouldn't leave his Kedusha, because otherwise he would not have needed to give a reason that, oh, he might come to touch. Meaning, what do you mean he might come to touch? If it's a din, a pasuk, you don't need to tell me what the svara is. So it just means mikdushaso lo yetzei. It's just how far do you have to go to protect that mikdushaso lo yetzei? And that's why the Ran writes that the limud from the pasuk is only in asmachta, and the ikar pasuk is really coming to tell us that a Kohen Gadol is that a Kohen Gadol still does the avoda even when he's an onen. That's what it really means, min hamikdash lo yetzei. And that's what the Ramban writes in the Sefer HaMitzvos in Shorash HaChamishi in his Hasaga on the Rambam, because the Rambam in Sefer HaMitzvos lo saseh kuf samachay learns from this pasuk that there's a lav gomor to leave the Beis HaMikdash to be malave es meso. But the Ramban says it's not what the Gemara says. The Gemara seems to, it's what it sounds like from the Mishnah, but it's not what the Gemara says. The Gemara seems to say no, it's not a lav gomor to leave it. It's because I'm gozer that maybe. So it happens to be that in Lekach Tov, Rav Yosef Engel in Klal Ches has a whole essay about Siyagda Oraisa. Do we ever find that the Torah itself makes an Isser that's only there to protect against a different Isser Min HaTorah? Or is every Siyag only Drabbanan? So Rav Yosef Engel has like 18 examples of Siyagda Oraisa where we find an Isser Yichud Min HaTorah is a classic example. It's an easy example, right? That there's an Isser of Yichud Min HaTorah, but it's clearly there to protect something else. even though the Yisr of Yichud is min HaTorah, or the Yisr Balira Balimatzeh, that you're not allowed to own Chametz on Pesach. Yeah, it is an Yisr Midarais in its own right, but it's clearly there meant to protect you against the Yisr of Achilas Chametz. So Rav Yosef Engel gives this as one of the examples. Min HaMikdash Lo Yetzeh, that he's not allowed to leave the Mikdash, is an Yisr Daraisa for him to go to the Levaya, but even though it's clearly there to protect you against being Mitameh to the Mace. So that's how Rav Yosef Engel understands, which would be aligned with the Shitas HaRambam, that it actually is an Isser Min HaTorah. So then we said, Kishu Menachem, when he's Menachem, other people, so everyone walks one in front of the other, and the Mamuna is makes a sandwich between him and the Am. So Tan Rabbanan, the Brisa says as follows, Kishu over Bishur L'Nachem Esacherim, when he goes to be Menachem, other people, Sagan and Meshuach Sha'avar B'Yamino. The Sagan and the Meshuach Sha'avar are on his right side. Meaning if the Kohen Gadol has any temporary psul that does not allow him to do the avoda, they appoint another Kohen Gadol in his place on a temporary basis, and then when the Kohen Gadol goes back to his avoda, the guy who was the backup that old time is called the Meshuach Sha'avar. So the Sagan and the Meshuach Sha'avar are on his right side. V'rosh Beis Av, V'avelim V'kala Mismolo, and the Rosh Beis Av of that the current Beis Av, because we know the Kohanim were divided into Mishmaros, each Mishmar worked a different week, and the Mishmaros were divided into Batei Av, so each Beis Av had a Rosh Beis Av, so that day's Rosh Beis Av, and the Avelim and everybody else were on his left side. Ukshu Omid Beshura, and when he's an Avel, and he's Omid Beshura, Umisnachim Me'acherim, and other people are Menachem him, then Sagan Yamino, V'Rosh Beis Av V'Kala Mismolo, the Sagan is on his right, and the Rosh Beis Av and everyone else is on his left. Avel Meshuach Sha'avar Lo'asi Gabei, when the Kohen Gadol himself is an Avel, then the Meshuach Sha'avar should not come at all. My time, well, why doesn't it come? Chal Shodayte, Savar Kachadibi. Because it's going to cause a Chalish Sadash for the Kohen Gadol, because he's going to think that the Meshuach Sha'avar is rejoicing in his Avelus. Because there's a contentious relationship between the Meshuach Sha'avar and the Kohen Gadol, because once the Kohen Gadol goes back to his Avoda, the Meshuach Sha'avar is out of a job. I mean, he used to be the Kohen Gadol. He got to step up to that position, so now he has that little bit of resentment and that little bit of a feeling like, I could do this job, what do we need this guy for? So he's afraid that the Meshuach Sha'avar is Kachadibi. That's a question in Halacha. Do we assume that people, that we have to be concerned for this attitude when it comes to seeing people in their times of sorrow? The Ramah in Yerideya says that a sone shouldn't go be Menachem Avel, that if you have a bad relationship with someone, you shouldn't go be Menachem Avel the person, perhaps even to be Mvakar Chola the person, because the person's going to think Kachadibi, that he's the Avel is going to say, oh, he's enjoying this, the fact that that I'm down and out, so he shouldn't have that thought cross his mind. So the Shach writes Hakolafia Indian, you know, sometimes that's an opportunity to make shalom in what otherwise would have been a contentious relationship. When you reach out and you come and you're Menachem Avel anyway, so you have to use judgment on that. But this is the basis for that Ramah. It's interesting because the Gemara elsewhere says that if a person is sick, let it be known, let the illness be known, and the people that hate him are going to rejoice in his illness, and the punishment for them is that he's going to get better, right? Meaning so it's better to let them celebrate, is it, and then he'll get better. So maybe there's a chiluk to be made between Bikur Cholim versus Nicham Avelim. But okay, Amra Pap, Shmami Na Mehamas Nisa, Tzlas. We see three things that emerge from this Braisa. Number one, we see Shmami Na Hainu Sagan, Hainu Mamuna. The fact that the Braisa says that the Sagan is on his right side, and in the Mishnah it said that the Mamuna is on his right side, so that tells you that the Sagan and the Mamuna are the same person. It's two ways of saying the same job. Second thing we learn is Shmamina Avelim Omnim Mekalam Ovrin, that the Avelim stand in the Shura, and everyone else passes by them and is Menachim them, meaning not the way we do it nowadays, where the Avelim walk through the Shura, the Avelim stand, and everyone else walks by them. Like you would do at a Shiva house, where the Avelim are in one place, and everyone is walking by to be Menachem. Shema mina avil l'smol Menachem l'smol Menachem mein omdin. We also see that the avilim stand to the left of the Menachemim, because the Bryce says that the avilim are omid mismol of the Kohen Gadol who's coming to be Menachem them. So Tanu Rabbanan, Parishona ayu avilim omdin v'kala amovin. It used to be that the avilim would stand in the Shura and everyone else would walk by to be Menachem them. There were two families in Yerushalayim that didn't get along with each other. Zosomeres Anioveres Tchila. This one said, I'm going to go by first to be Menachem because I'm the more chashuv one. Vizosomeres Anioveres Tchila. And the other one said, no, we're more chashuv and we should be the first ones to be Menachem. It's unbelievable, right? The pasuk says, Chazal Darshan from the Tov Lechas, the Beis Evel, the Beis Mishnah, because Achai Yitin Alibo. You assume at a Beis Evel, the person's going to, you know, put aside stupidities, right? You put aside the need for a covenant and this and that, but people are people. So this, so each one was fighting that it's my chashivus that I should go first. So he said, you know what? Everyone stays in place. Let the avelim walk by, and they'll walk by whoever they walk by. So Amar Rabbi Bar Abba, Hechzer Rabbi Yossi says Rabbi Yoshno b'tzipori. In Tzipori, Rabbi Yossi put back the minhag the way it used to be. Shu avelim omdin v'kol ha'movrin, that the avelim would stand and everyone else would walk by. V'amar Rabbi Abba Yisrael Rabbi Yossi b'tzipori. Rabbi Yossi made another takan in Tzipori. Shlotei isha malachas b'shuk u'bna achareha. That a woman shouldn't be walking in the shuk with her son trailing behind her. Misha ma'isa shaya. I mean, she should keep her son in front of her so she could see where he is because of the ma'isa shaya that happened once. Apparently, there was a ma'isa shaya that a Rashi quotes over here, that a woman had her son trailing behind her, some prutzim grabbed him and kidnapped him. She looked, she didn't see him, and one of the prutzim said, come, I'll show you where your son is, and he brought her into a room, and they took advantage of her in that room. So you got to always keep an eye on the kid. V'amar Rabbi Abba Hiskar Yosef Tzipori, a third takana that he made, she'unashim misapros bebeis hakisei, that women should converse with each other when they're in the beis hakisei, mishum yichud, and the reason for that is because we don't want it to lead to Yichud, because their Beis HaKisei was out in the field, it was far from the city, and everyone, you know, whoever needed to go would go there. So Rechoshesh, that if a man is going to go there and he doesn't hear a voice of anyone else, he's going to enter and he's going to be alone with the women that are there. So let the women talk to each other, so to give him warning that he shouldn't come in. Amar Rav Menashe Bar Us, She'ilis es Rabbi Yoshia Rabba, I asked the great Rabbi Yoshia Bebeis Almin Duhutzal, in the Beis HaKvaros of Hutzal, and I asked him, how many people do you need to make a shura for Nichum Avelim? V'amrli, ein shura p'chusum e'asar b'nei adam. That a shura needs a minimum of a minion, ve'en Avelim in a minion. The Avelim don't count toward those 10 people. So it has to be 10 people aside from the Avelim. That's probably because shura is an inyan of Nichum Avelim shel hatzibur. That the idea of shura is that there's a din of Nichum Avelim that a yachid is Menachem yachid. You don't need a minion in a shiva house to fulfill the mitzvah of Nichum Avelim. But then there's the community being Menachem Avel. So the community is represented by a minion of people. So you need a minion of people to be Menachem the Avel. Bein sha'avelim omdin v'kalam ovrin, bein sha'avelim ovrin v'kalam omdin. And it could work either way. The 10 people could be standing in place where the Avelim walk by them, or vice versa. Kshu misnachem, we then said that when he's misnachem from other people, everyone says to him, Anu kaparascha, and he says, Tisparchu min hashamayim. This is the Kohen Gadol. Right? They say, we should be your kapara. That's what we discussed yesterday. Does that really work? That they could take upon themselves the onesh that belongs to the Kohen Gadol? And he gives them a bracha. So yibayilu. Ki menachemu achrini hechi amalu. When the Kohen Gadol is menachem other people, what does he say? So Tashima, the Bryce says, Vuhu omer tisnachamu. Say echidami. What does that mean that he says tisnachamu? In which case? When he's the avel or when he's the menachem? Ilem ki menachemu achrini lidi. It can't be that he's the Avel and he's telling them that they should have a Nechama, because that would be like him telling them, yeah, you should be an Avel also and then I should be Menachem you. No, it means when there are other people that are Avelim and the Kohen Gadol is being Menachem them, so that's what he says. He says, Tisnachemu Shmamina, so we see that that's what it means. That's what he's supposed to say. Then the Mishnah move on to discuss a Melech. Melech lo dun. We said a Melech cannot be a judge nor can can they judge him? He cannot be made, nor can they be made against him. That's only true of Malchi Yisrael. But Malchi Beis David can serve as Dayanim, and we can judge them. Because the Pasuk says in Yirmiyah, Beis David, Ko Amar Hashem, Dinu Laboker Mishpat. So apparently it's part of their job, is they're supposed to be done, the Malchi Beis David. And if we were not able to judge them for anything that they had done, in a way, then they would not be qualified to judge other people. Because the Pasuk says in Tzifanya, Hiskoshu V'koshu, that we darshan, Vam Reish Lakish, Reish Lakish darshan that Pasuk, Kasheit Atzmach, Acharka, Kasheit Acherim. You first have to make sure that you've got it together, and then you could figure out other people's issues. So you need to be subject to a Din Torah in order to impose a Din Torah, in order to be a Dayan in the Din Torah. So that must be true about the Malchi Beis David. And the Malchi Beis David are done v'dan lo son. So when we say that a Melech is lo done v'lo done lo so, it must be only Malchi Yisrael. So the Malchi Yisrael my time alone. Why? Why can't Malchi Yisrael be done or have other people done them? So it says Mar Mishamai Sashaya, because there was a story that happened. Minei Rechinami, it should have been allowed, but there was a story that happened that made us change the rules. Da'avde Diyani Malka Katal Nafshe. There was an evid of Yanei HaMelech who killed someone. Samar L'Shem Ben Shetach L'Cham, and Shem Ben Shetach told the other Chachmei Sanhedrin, Tinuei Nechem Bo'un Dinenu. We need to deal with this case of the evid of a very powerful person who did something quite terrible. Shem Ben Shetach was the Nasi of the Sanhedrin. Now Shem Ben Shetach also happened to have been the brother-in-law of Yanei HaMelech. Shimon ben Shetach's wife, Yanei's wife rather, was Shimon ben Shetach's sister. So the Mefarshim discuss, did this story happen before he married the sister or after he married the sister? Because if Shimon ben Shetach was his brother-in-law, l'chore, he should not have been sitting on his din Torah, right? Meaning that should pasul him for being a dayan in that case. So that's a discussion. But anyway, so he said, let's go and dan him. So Shalch Le'elecham sent Yanei HaMelech, Avdecha katal nafsha, that you have an Eved who's accused of killing someone. Shadri luhu, send the Eved to our Beis Din. Sholchulei, so they sent him. Ta'ant nami lacha. Then they said, and you also have to come, because the halacha is that if a shar kills somebody, so it's not only the shar that has to come to Beis Din, but v'huad v'balav, that you need the bailam of the shar. Amra Torah, the Torah says, so yavo bala shar v'yamad al shoro. So too, your Eved killed somebody, you're going to have to show up to Beis Din as well. So asav yasav, Yana Melech came and he sat in front of them. So then Shimon ben Shetach said, Yanei HaMelech, stand up and they're going to be made against you, against your Eved. But you should realize you're not standing for our kavod. You're standing for the Ribbono Shalom. Pasuk says, Lufnei Hashem, that the litigants in the case are standing Lufnei Hashem. So Yanei HaMelech said to Shimon ben Shetach, Lo kishtomer ata. I'm not going to do like what you just told me to do. I'll tell you what though, if the other members of the Sanhedrin, if they have the audacity to ask me to stand, then I'll stand. But just because you ask me to stand, that's not going to do it. So Nifna Liyamino, so Shimon ben Shetach turns to his right, to the other Dayanim that are there. Nu, are you going to tell them to stand as you're supposed to? Kavshu Pnei Bekarka. They hid their face in the ground. They just looked away because they were too embarrassed. They couldn't have the chutzpah to tell Yanei HaMelech to stand. Nifna L'smolo, he turns to his left, V'kavshu Pnei Bekarka, and they hide their face in the ground. So Amar Lehem Shimon ben Shetach. Shimon ben Shetach says, Bali Machshavos Atem. You're a bunch of Bali Machshavos. Yavo Bal Machshavos. Let the ultimate Bal Machshavos, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, come V'yiparim Mikem, and pay you back for your lack of audacity and confidence and standing up for what's right. So HaKadosh Baruch Hu should pay you back. And Marsha says, why is he referring to them as Balei Machshavos? So when people look down, they're giving the impression that they're deep in thought or whatever, as if like they didn't know what's going on because they're too caught up in the sugya or something. It's like, you're pretending to be a bunch of Balei Machshavos. You know exactly what I asked you to do, and you're pretending. You don't hear because you're uncomfortable. So the ultimate Balei Machshavos should pay you back. Miad bo Gavriel, so the Malach Gavriel came, v'chavton b'karka v'mesu, and he slammed them into the ground and they died. Bo'sa Shah Amnu, at that time they said, Melech l'dan v'l'dan v'so l'meid v'lo midin v'so. So then they said, okay, now maybe we shouldn't have this. Maybe Melech should not be subject to a din Torah, nor to Eidus. The Rishonim point out, the Eidus part is really not relevant to this. L'meid was not said bo'sa Shah, because we already said that even a Kohen Gadol is a no meid because of Salamta, right? because there's because it's a lack of kavod abrios for it's like a zakin venel fi kvodo by Hashavas Aveda for even a kohen gadol to show up to be made. So certainly that's going to be true for a melech. So it's really not about the lo meid. We just throw that in once we're mentioning lo dan velo dananoso. But this story explains why lo dan velo dananoso. Lo chalitz velo choltin. We said the melech doesn't do chalitza, nor do we do chalitza on his wife. So Amy, is that true that a melech is able to be? Meaning the point is Rabbi Yehuda then says that if he wants to do chalitza, the Mishnah said yesterday, then zachar l'tov, good, let him do chalitza if he wants to. So frek v'gemara, eini, is that true? He could be mochel on his kavod and do chalitza or yibum? Va'amar Ravashi, didn't Ravashi tell us, afilu mad yam nasa shmachal kvodu kvodu machal, mel shmachal kvodu ein kvodu machal, that a melech does not have the right to be mochel on his kavod, shenemar, som tas melech melech shetei maso alecha, that there always has to be a sense of awe and trepidation for a melech. So he can't be mochel that kavod, because then there's not going to be a masal alecha. You're not going to have the ema of the melech. So answer the Gemara, even though he cannot be mochel on his kavod when it comes to other things, when it comes to chalitza and yibum, he can, because mitzvah shiny. This is a mitzvah. So he can be mochel on his kavod in order to be able to be mekayim, a mitzvah, and do chalitza or do yibum. So it's true that the Tosfos points out, he's not able to be mochel on his kavod for a kiyum mitzvah that where the entire mitzvah is covered for other people, like to be mechabed uchasen and kala, even though that's also a mitzvah, because we say the kavod melech overrides the kavod of anybody else, including the kavod of the chasen and kala, who are chayiv bikvodo. But when the mitzvah is not purely a mitzvah of kibud, Tosfos points out, then we say ein chachma ein tfunei neitz neged Hashem. Right? Then he could be mochel on his kavod when it comes to doing a mitzvah. Ve'einos. And then we said you're not allowed to marry an almana of a melech, but Rabbi Yehuda said a melech can marry an almana of a melech, and Rabbi says I have a raya. It's a pasuk. Shmuel beis vet melechas beis adonecha v'sim shei adonecha b'chechecha. That David HaMelech is given the wives of Shaul. He's told by Nasan Hanavi that he's going to get the wives of Shaul. So that's a pretty stark raya. So the Gemara brings a brisa where it's going to go. It's going to tell us what the Chum responded to Rabbi Yehuda's raya, because it's a beferish a pasuk. So Tanya, the brisa tells us Amalol the Rabbi Yehuda. The Chum said back to Rabbi Yehuda, no, you're misunderstanding the pasuk. It doesn't mean that David HaMelech gets Shaul's wives. Nashma ru'uyos lo mi beis HaMelech means the women that are mutter to him from Shaul's household. Umay ninu, Merav u'Michal. That's Merav and Michal, that they were the daughters of Shaul and David married them. So that's who the pasuk is talking about. So Gemara brings a brisa that discusses how David was allowed to marry both Merav and Michal. Shaul u'tamid v'shab yosi, heich nasa David shtei achios b'chayein. How are you allowed to marry two sisters during their lifetime? You're not allowed to do it. Yaakov Avinu did that before he entered Eretz Yisrael, but that's why Rachel had to die before he came back to Eretz Yisrael, because you're not allowed to marry two sisters during their lifetime. So how was David allowed to do that? So I'm allowed Michal achar misas Merav Nisa. He only married Michal after Merav had already died. Tosfos Rosh says, if you try to figure out the math, it's really, really hard how he had time to do that. Tosfos Rosh points out, it turns out that all while Shaul was king, David HaMelech was Mekadesh Merav, then Merav was given to Adriel and had five sons with him, and then she died, and then David married Michal, and then he went to Gas, and he waited 4 months in Gas while Shaul was still the king. And how long was Shaul king for? 2 years. So in 2 years, David had to marry Merav. She had to go to someone else, have five kids with that somebody else, and then marry Michal and spend 4 months after the marriage with Michal. How's that possible? So Tosfos Rosh says, easy. Merav had two pregnancies, one of twins, she had three pregnancies, two sets of twins, and the fifth pregnancy was Yoledes L'Mekutayin, was only 6 months. So therefore, she was able to fit all those pregnancies in such a short amount of time. Why not just say quintuplets? I don't know. You know, you could. But that's what the Tosfos Rosh says, in order to make it all fit into that amount of time. Anyway, so Rabbi Shimon Karcha Amar Kiddushin Talos Hayilo B'Meirav. Rabbi Shimon Karcha says that David's Kiddushin with Meirav was a Kiddushin Talos, that she wasn't really his wife. The Kiddushin wasn't Chal, and therefore Michal didn't become Asur to him, meaning answering the question, how could he marry two sisters? He wasn't really married to Meirav. Shenemar, because the Pasuk says that after Shaul died, David sent to Ish-bosheth the following message: Tana es ishti es michal asher irasi li b'meir orlos plishim. Give me my wife Michal. So my Talmud, what do we? How do you see from there that he wasn't married to Meirav? Because I'm Rav Papa. Michal ishti v'lo Meirav ishti. It's his way of saying Michal is my real wife. Meirav is not really my wife because that was the kiddushay tatus. My kiddushay tatus. What was the kiddushay tatus with Meirav? Why would he claim that Meirav was not really his wife? Where was the kiddushay tatus? The chsiv, because the pasuk says in Shmuel Aleph that Shaul made a promise that whoever is going to kill Goliath, the Plishti giant, Vaya Isha Shayakenu Ya Ashrenu Amelech Osher Gadol, that I'm going to give him a great wealth. And the pasuk continues, Vesbito Yitenlo, and I'm also going to give him my daughter. So Azal Katle, David HaMelech stepped up, and he's the one that killed Goliath with the slingshot, the whole thing. So when Shaul came to take his daughter to that's Mukadeshes to him, Amarlo, Shaul said to David, Milva Islach Kabai, you have a chov on me that I have to give you Osher Gadol that I promised you, and you're not able to be Mekadesh Meirav by being Mochel that to me. I'm Mekadesh Milva in a Mukadeshes. I never received anything else as Kiddushin from you other than the Mechila of that chov, and the halacha is that if you're Mekadesh Milva, it's not a valid Kiddushin. So Shaul's opinion was that Meirav was not Mukadeshes to David, and therefore, Azal Yahaveh LaAdriel. And therefore, Shaul said, okay, she's not your wife, so I'm giving her to Adriel. Because the pasuk says, Vayibes Tesas Merav Bashaul David. And then the pasuk continues, Vihi Nitna LaAdriel HaMachalasi LiIsha, that she was given to Adriel. So instead of giving her to David, Shaul gave her to Adriel. So Amalei, so Shaul said to David, Ibayis Tetemach, Michal, if you want me to give you Michal instead, Zil Aiti Limea Orlos Plishtim, you're going to have to give me some Kesef Kiddushin. So go bring me 100 Arlos of Plishtim. So Azalai Tilei, David HaMelech went and he brought the Arlos of the Plishtim and he wanted to take Michal. So Amalei, Shaul said, since I owe you this great Osher for having killed Goliath and you brought me the Arlos Plishtim that are worth money, so Milvo Pruta Islach Kabai. So I have a chov that I owe you, plus a pruta, because that you're being makadesh with. And the halacha is you're being makadesh with a combination of milva and pruta, and that's einu mukadeshes. And David disagreed. David held that milva pruta is mukadeshes, and he said, therefore, tana michal. So the Gemara explains what the machlokas was between David and Shaul about the kiddushin of milva pruta. Shaul thought that when a person is mochel a milva for the sake of kiddushay isha, upruta, and then on top of that he gives upruta and he does it all the shame kiddushin daite milva. His real das is to be makadesh with the milva that he's being mochel, and that's in the makadeshes, because the makadesh milva is in the makadeshes. V'david savar milva upruta daite apruta, that when as the kiddushin he's giving a mechila of the milva plus a pruta, the real das is for the pruta, and if you're makadesh nisha with the pruta, that's all you really need. V'ibay yisema, the Gemara says another way to explain the machlokas between Shaul and David is that to everyone holds that the das is really on the pruta. But Shaul held that you don't even have a pruta over here, because lo chaz v'lo midi. What do you give him? 100 arlos of plishtim? That's not worth anything. What's he going to do with that? So it's not even worth a pruta. Right, under the chuppah, the Masari Kedushin asked, they ate him. These 100, he takes out a pile of arlos. Does this look like it's worth a pruta? And they're like, ew, no, it doesn't, right? And Shaul said, that's not worth anything. It's not even worth a pruta. V'david savar, David said, no, you just put it in a nice package with a cat on the cover, and they say, okay, here's cat food. How much could you charge for it in the supermarket, right? So they would, it's worth something. Rabbi Yossi, now Rabbi Yossi holds that Meirav actually was married to David. What do you do with Tanas Ishti as Michal? What do you darshan from that pasuk if it's not meant to exclude Meirav as his wife? So Rabbi Yossi the Tamei, this is Rabbi Yossi the Shitaso, Titania, because the Brisa tells us Rabbi Yossi Ayodorish Makros Mo Ravim. Rabbi Yossi would darshan in a mixed up psukim. Ksiv, it says in Shmuel Beis, Veikachamel Shnei B'nei Ritzba Bas Ayash Yodel Shaul, Sarmoni Ves Mifiboshes, Ves Chameshes B'nei Michal. So Michal was the wife of Adriel that was because she was given by Shaul to Adriel. So it says, what? Michal was the wife of Adriel? V'chile Adriel nitna? V'alele Palti ben Laish nitna? She was given to Palti ben Laish. T'chsev v'shol nosnes Michal bito eish estav le Palti ben Laish. So Meirav was the one given to Adriel. Because the Pasuk, and that the Pasuk says explicitly, the Pasuk Shmuel Al says that Beis Teis says Meirav ba Shaul le David. So Ella, it must be that the reason Michal is mentioned as Eishes Sadriel instead of mentioning Meir of Eishes Sadriel is to be Makish Kedusha Meir of Adriel, the Kedusha Michal of Palti, is to link the Kedusha that Meir of had to Adriel to the Kedusha that Michal had with Palti. Ma Kedusha Michal of Palti Ba'Aveira, just like the Kedusha of Michal to Palti was Ba'Aveira, because the Kedusha of David was really Chal, so Af Kedusha Meir of Adriel Ba'Aveira, the Kedusha of Meir of Adriel was also Ba'Aveira, because she was already Mekudeshes to David. It was a valid Kiddushin with David. Rabbi Shimon Karcha held that that Merav was not David's wife. Nami, he will also say Haksiv Eschamesh Bnei Michal Bas Shaul. So you see that, like Rabbi Yossi, that Merav was actually David's wife, unlike him. So how's he going to respond? So I'm like Rabbi Shimon Karcha would respond that we could darshan in the pasuk differently. V'chi Michal Yolda, it describes the Chameshes Bnei Michal that were Yolda La Adriel Ben Brazilia Mechalasi. What do you mean Michal didn't have these five kids? Velo Merav Yolda. Merav had these five kids. So Merav Yolda u'Michal Gidla. Merav had them, but she died, and Michal was the one that raised all of these five kids. L'fichach nikral Shema. That's why they're called Michal's children. If a person raises a Yasam b'soch beso, it's as if it's their child. And the Gemara says we see that elsewhere. We learn it from the following pasuk. Ben Naomi, v'chinami yolda v'lo Rus yolda. Naomi wasn't the one that had the child. Rus did. Ela Rus yolda v'Naomi gidla, but Naomi raised the child. V'fichon nikral shema. Therefore, it's called the child of Naomi. Rabbi Yochanan mehacha. We have from a different pasuk about Kalid ben Yifuna. V'ishta Yehudis yolda as Yerida Vigdar. Ve'ela b'nei Bisya Basparu Ashalakach Mered. Mered zek Kalev. V'lo menikral shema Mered. Shemarid ba'atzas Meraglim. He's called Mered because he was married against the advice of the Meraglim. V'chi Bisya yolda. The daughter of Paru give birth to Moshe Rabbeinu. V'lo Yocheved Yolda, it was Yocheved that gave birth to Moshe Rabbeinu. Yocheved Yolda Bisya Gidla L'fichon Nikral Shema. Since the daughter of Paru was the one that raised him, so he's called her son. Rabbi Lazar Mehacha, that we learn from a different pasuk. Ka'alta Bezra Amuch Ben Yaakov Yosef Selav. V'chi Yosef Yolad. Did Yosef give birth to the Shvatim? V'lo Yaakov Yolad. It was Yaakov's children. El Yaakov Yolad Yosef Kilkel. Yosef supported them. L'fichon Nikral Shema. Amr Rav Shom Barachmani Amr Yosef Kamalamid Ben Chaver Torah Malo. When you teach someone else's child Torah, it's also Kilu Yilada. Shemar Veil to the Sar of Moshe, Uksiv, Eilu Shmos B'nei Aaron. Lomelcha, Aaron Yolo, Moshe Li, made the Fich Nikral Shmo. Aaron had the children, but Moshe taught them Torah. He was the Rebbe, and therefore they're considered as if they're Moshe Rabbeinu's children. L'chein ko amar Hashem el Beis Yaakov Asher Poda as Avram, V'cheichem Ratzin B'Yaakov Shepedo L'Avram. Where do we find that Yaakov was ever Poda, that he redeemed Avram? Some Ravidov Shepedo Mitzar Gidul Banim. He was Poda him from Tzar Gidul Banim. Because Avram Avinu was the one that was promised lots and lots of children. He didn't have lots and lots of children. Yaakov did. V'ayinu d'chsiv, lo ata yevosh Yaakov, lo ata yevosh Yaakov me'aviv, v'lo ata panav yechavru me'avi aviv. That he doesn't have to be embarrassed from his father or his grandfather because he was pulled to them from the Tzar Gidul Banim. Okay, Be'ez Hashem, tomorrow we'll pick up with the discussion of Palti ben Laish. Everyone have a wonderful day.